Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it.
Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here with you again on a great Friday. We've got our friend Daryl Talley coming in at 1 o'clock. We've got Tasker's teammate, whom I don't know who that's going to be, going to come on today as well. We've got that little segment coming on. Yeah, we've got news going on around the sports world. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff's going on in football. We've got, at the present current moment, 33 total opt-outs in the National Football League, and baseball is still struggling with the Marlins and what to do with those guys. We were just talking about what they're doing on the way on just before we came on the air. And Brownie, baseball's not pretty. And I know football and football fans are watching that to see how that's going over in that sport.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, the Marlins have really thrown a monkey wrench into the works.
Right. And now they're not even the only team, because the St. Louis Cardinals have two positive tests on their roster, or in their organization. I believe it's two players. I'll have to double check. And that has prompted Major League Baseball to cancel the Milwaukee Brewers home opener against the Cardinals to try to stop the spread there. And the Cardinals just finished a series with the Minnesota Twins. So now the Twins are on notice to take a closer look at all their testing every day to see where they might stand in 3 to 4 days, 5 days, you know, knowing the incubation period could be taking place there as well. We know the Phillies, there were some positive tests there. There may be more in the coming days, again, knowing the incubation period and that it can last up to 14 days. And they were, you know, they were the last team to play the Marlins. The craziest thing, and Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers, two Major League Baseball reporters for ESPN, have been like all over this. They've done a great job. But Jesse Rogers was reporting on the sad state of the Marlins in terms of travel. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want to be the traveling secretary for any of these teams.
Oh, my gosh.
But the Marlins right now, according to Jesse Rogers from ESPN, they are sending their infected players and coaches back to Miami by sleeper bus, which that's a fun trip from Philly. And then their healthy players and coaches are going to be busing from Philly to Baltimore to start their series with the Orioles. Then they have to go up to New York to play the Yankees. And then from there, they come up here to Buffalo to play the Blue Jays. So essentially, they will not be home, back in their home confines of Miami, and you may not want to be there right now anyway, for the better part of 3.5 weeks to a month.
How long have they been in Philly so far?
They've been there almost a week.
Oh, is that all? It seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I think it's been since last weekend. So I think it's almost a week now.
Right.
And that, so,
so wait, and I told you this too. They are they're going to bus the sick COVID players on the Marlins back to South Florida, where Hurricane Isaias is about to make landfall.
Yeah. And
they're just treating I was making a joke about it. They're treating Florida like it's a leper colony.
Well, I mean, they're sick, but sending them to Florida doesn't really impact too many people down in Florida, because they're all sick too.
Well, it doesn't matter either, because wherever you send these teams, they're going to be in a population that they're supposed to stay away from anyway.
Right.
Right.
I'm hoping against this, Steve. I'm hoping we're not seeing, you know, the domino effect that the spread of coronavirus can be within Major League Baseball, because, you know, now the Phillies, will they, and we'll know more in the next day or two and probably through the weekend, if the Phillies are a team that you know, they got to postpone games for, or if they have enough players to play that are not positive. And at right. what point do you say, okay, you've tested negative 5 days in a row, the incubation period's passed, you're good to play, Phillies go play this game against whomever. And then the Cardinals, do the two positive tests turn into 4, 8, 10, 12? And then what are the repercussions for the Minnesota Twins? So you have two positive tests on the Cardinals, and it impacts four teams. Because right. now they're talking about Minnesota not playing since they were the last team to play the Cardinals, and are you unnecessarily exposing players on the team that the Twins are playing in their next series?
Here's how this is relevant to the NFL, which is, you know, what we're interested in here. The difference is that you're going to have time to test between games for these teams in the NFL. There's a week between games, so you're going to have to be able to get on top of that and not let it spread from other teams to other teams. So if you can get on top of it and find out, you know, do the tracing and the contact tracing and know that you don't have another game coming up, you won't have to really cancel the other game if you've got enough guys who test positive or test negative twice during the week to field the team, and they can go ahead and plow through the season because of the distance between games. That makes a big difference.
There's no question about that. That is one thing that is absolutely working in the NFL's favor, just by virtue of the fact they only play once a week. I think where it could get tricky for them is the proximity to the game in which they right. have positive tests or, God forbid, an outbreak. Like, if that happens after practice, results come back on Friday that you got six guys that tested positive, now you could really be throwing a wrench into the works. Now you have to decide, probably in the span of 24 hours, especially if they have the road game, are they traveling? Are they getting on a plane? Are they staying here? Is the team leaving? Are they staying? Are there enough players? Are there more players? That's where the timing of the positive tests for the NFL could really throw a wrench into things.
Absolutely. And then, because here's the thing, even if all those guys on Friday, there's only six guys that test positive, you don't know which guys are asymptomatic and are carriers that have been exposed to those guys and don't have right. symptoms yet or don't test positive in that test. If you did one on Thursday before the Friday test and they got those results back on Saturday, or if you did it on Friday and got the test results back on Saturday, then you'd know a little better. But, man, oh, man, that late in the week is really going to be an issue. And they're going to start after training camp, after the first couple of weeks of training camp, they're only going to test twice a week.
Right. And I know employees in the building will be once a week at that point. So, yeah, I mean, this is not an easy path. This is not the path of least resistance. I think we all know that. And there's no way to predict how it's going to go in each NFL city, you know, when we get to that point. But hopefully things go well in the early goings, knowing that there are no games and there is no travel. You would like to think that the risk is minimized. But again, it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday too, Steve. Guys being responsible and doing the right thing by their fellow teammates and coaches, by not venturing out and going and expanding right. the number of people they expose themselves to.
Yeah, we were the Bills also put out a statement yesterday. And it says, as we were informed by medical experts as training camp opened, we expected to have positive tests for COVID, and we've had five since the beginning of testing period last Tuesday. We decided to take a disciplined, proactive, and preventative approach to hopefully eliminate additional cases within our team. And what that means is they sent everybody home to have all the rest of the meetings that they were going to have in the building. They had all those virtually and separated everybody out. Now, they'll continue testing, but they're going to find out real quick how far that spread, or how well their protocols with, when they get those guys in there and they test positive, how well the protocols work for not letting it spread from that point. So that's going on with the Buffalo Bills. And as we said earlier in the show, 33 total guys across the National Football League have opted out. And I was doing the breakdown, Brownie, on positional, you know, distribution of which kind of guys are doing it. And of the 33 guys, 20 of them are big guys, D linemen and offensive linemen. There's seven defensive tackles, two other defensive ends. So that's 9 defensive linemen, 11 offensive linemen, guards and tackles are opted out. Now, then there's only 3 wide receivers, 3 running backs, which one of which 2 running backs and a fullback, 2 linebackers, 3 wideouts, 2 tight ends, a kick returner, 2 defensive backs, 1 safety and 1 corner.
So it's kind of run the gamut, but the linemen have the heavy predominated guys, the list.
Yeah, the heavy guys are the ones that are really, really the ones that are opting out. And you could imagine, because they carry so much weight, they're the ones that probably have as many health risks outside of COVID, than most guys do. Now, some of these guys are voluntary opt-outs, obviously. Some of them are not. The voluntary opt-outs... there's Andre Smith, the offensive lineman from Baltimore, Starlo Tulele, Eddie Vanderdoes, the defensive tackle, offensive lineman Laurent Devernay-Tardif, the medical doctor who's laying out because of his profession, and Najee Porin. Those also Chance Warmack and Anthony McKinney. Now, those are all the big guys that have like voluntarily opted out. There are higher risk opt-outs, which are Michael Pierce, defensive tackle, Marcus Cannon for the New England Patriots, an offensive lineman, and defensive end Caleb Brantley.
And Marquise Goodwin, you know, we heard he was,
I'm just mentioning the big guys, the heavy guys. That are,
right.
There seems to be, and I didn't really think about it, but it makes a lot of sense that the big guys would have more guys opting out because of other health risks.
So for the voluntary opt-outs for these quote-unquote big guys, do you think it is rooted in the body mass index issue there? Because they do say if you have a high body mass index, you can technically be at greater risk. And I think part of the reason for that, Steve, and believe me, I'm not a doctor, I'm just theorizing here. You've got extra weight on your frame. It's a respiratory disease. So God forbid you come down with it. Now you're laid up, you're flat on your back. You got that extra weight sitting on your lungs, which are already taxed to begin with. I have to imagine that's part of the issue there.
Yeah, and there's no blank. You can generalize, certainly, but there's no blanket. It's my experience that all these guys are a different position. Some of them are doing it because of their families. Some of them are doing it because of they do have health risk. It took us 20 minutes to get out of Marquise Goodwin yesterday. He's got asthma and sickle cell, which are both high risk. So, and he's doing it for his family, not for himself.
Be doing it for himself,
right?
Too.
And he's not. That's the mentality most of these guys have, I think, Brownie. They don't care about their own bodies. If they did, they wouldn't be playing professional football. They're going to go if they can go. But when their family, when you add their wives and their kids into it, particularly young babies, like a lot of these guys are, a handful of them are, that's the part where they say, you know what, I got to pull the ripcord on behalf of them. I'd do it if I could, but not because of them. And that's where they sit, most of them. There's no real generalization. They're all different.
And with all these defensive linemen pulling out, particularly defensive tackles, more so than defensive ends, it's created an opening in the market for guys that are still sitting out there in free agency. I mean, you're talking about Mike Daniels, Timmy Snacks Harrison, D'Amata Pecco, even though he's 35, he's apparently in shape and been staying ready, waiting for the phone to ring. Mm-hmm. Star is out of the mix for the Bills, and I know they have depth there on the interior, but I think it's likely that they at least pick up the phone and see who might be out there and available at an affordable price. You are saving money on Star's salary, which is not on the cap now for this year.
Right. That's $4.5 million that he's guaranteed, which is, listen, that's good money. It's nothing to sneeze at. And if you're not, it's beats not working, right?
Yeah.
Certainly, if the Bills feel like they need it, they're probably searching that market out and doing some due diligence on those players. No question about it, if they haven't already.
Yeah.
Also, it's been reported by Marcel Louis-Jacques, who has been on our program. He's the Bills
ESPN beat reporter.
ESPN reporter for this region, and he covers the Bills pretty well. He says that it's been reported by him that John Feliciano, the Bills' offensive lineman, offensive guard, is going to miss 8 to 12 weeks with a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah.
Nothing official from the Bills yet.
We're working on that to get that confirmed.
Yeah, right. They haven't confirmed or denied that, but that's been reported by Marcel Louis-Jacques. Plenty of depth.
And a couple other outlets, too.
Offensive line. What's that?
A couple other outlets have reported it now, too, so –
Right.
It appears to have legs to it. So we're working right now to get it confirmed by the team. And as soon as we do that, we'll let you know when and if it's official. But yeah, that would certainly put a hole in that starting offensive line. And there are two layers to that too, Steve, because let's not forget, John Feliciano was the team's backup center as well. So, right. You know, when Mitch Morris missed time, he would just slide right over and they'd bring a guard on the field. So his what seems like his impending absence from the lineup this season, you know, what happens? You know, does Darrell Williams suddenly become the favorite to be the right guard? Do they say, let's move Cody Ford over from right tackle and start a competition at right tackle? It's going to be interesting to see how they choose to line players up here at the outset based on what they think might be best for them. And then, taking it a step further, you know, who steps into the void as a backup center? I think you're looking at Evan Bame, and you're looking at Spencer Long in that case. Not that you can rule out younger players like Ike Butker, who's done some center work, or Ryan Bates, who can play line positions.
I think Bates is a good bet.
Yeah, but, you know, in a season like this with so much up in the air, I tend to think that they're going to rely on veteran players first and give them the opportunity to do these kinds of jobs. So if you want to – I know a lot of coaches, Steve, historically, especially up on the line, don't want to change two positions for the sake of taking care of one, right. You know, and create more upheaval. So my inkling is, and I don't, you know, I don't have any inside knowledge on this. We'll obviously see when they line them up and actually get to practice. But my inkling is that they'll leave Cody Ford at right tackle because they know who Darrell Williams is as a player from their time with him in Carolina. And I think they may put him at guard in a competition potentially, but, you know, it could be like Darrell Williams, Evan Bame, Spencer Long, who knows. And then they'll work on deciding who the backup center is and kind of go from there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of flexibility up front, and we haven't even scratched the surface of what these guys look like on the field and what guys are going to be able to do what they're asking them to do, what guys they like. I mean, we've got a ton. Like, for instance, I mean, you never know what this kid, Trey Adams, may turn out to be an incredible right tackle for the Bills. A rookie, 6'8", 311. He's young. He was supposed to be a high-round draft pick, and then he had a couple of injuries his last 2 years at Washington. But he was projected as being a really highly drafted player.
Yeah. Not good injuries for a lineman. Knee and right, back. Those are never good.
Right. It's never good. And that's why, you know, I saw him. He looked trimmer when I saw him in his – I saw him at the combine, and then I saw him in his, I don't know, photos of his jerseys and stuff when they finally fit him for a Bills uniform. He looks trimmer. Yeah. He looks trimmer. We'll see if that makes a difference for guys like that. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock talking about the Buffalo Bills and training camp and all the question marks and the uncertainty surrounding the Buffalo Bills and the rest of the National Football League. What else we have?
The tweet sheet.
Let's go to the Twitter poll. The NFL, let's hear it is. The NFL, knowing that the NFL is watching baseball closely, how do you think what happens with the Major League Baseball and COVID-19 will impact the way the NFL conducts this season? How do you think what's going on in Major League Baseball will impact the National Football League and how they conduct their business? Is it going to, A, the NFL is going to restrict travel to hotspot states, B, hold games at neutral sites, C, reschedule teams with major outbreaks, or D, localize team bubbles with players living at hotels near the facility? You can give us a call at 803-0550 or tweet us at OneBillsLive or call us from outside the Buffalo area at 1-888-550-2550. Brownie, what are your opening thoughts about how the league will handle it?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you mentioned at the top of the show, the fact that they only have to play once a week may keep them from having a knee-jerk reaction to what's going on in baseball right now with now more than one team dealing with positive tests. And I think they'll hold their water to a certain extent on this. But if the baseball thing goes sideways, even though they only play once a week compared to Major League Baseball, which plays 5 to 6 times a week, they're going to have to take a hard look at this and come up with other ways to do the regular season that run counter to what Major League Baseball is trying to do right now with travel and just living the normal life as much as you can. So it wouldn't shock me if, knowing the teams that are, you got teams in hot states. I mean, California, you got, what, two teams there or three teams there? No, two, sorry, two three. L.A. teams.
No, two L.A. teams. You got a Las Vegas team now.
Yeah, Las Vegas, two teams.
Where Arizona's a hot state.
Arizona, Texas has two teams, Houston and Dallas. Florida's got three. Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's a very hot state.
So do you move those teams out of those states and put them in safer states and then play at neutral sites? I mean, you don't have any fans anyway. So what's the difference if you play in a neutral site in a safer place? I don't know if that's really a solution. I don't know if it's an idea that would get any traction. But, I mean, Florida just broke another record yesterday for daily deaths. It's terrible. So between what's going on in the hotspot states and how this thing unfolds with Major League Baseball, the NFL may have to reexamine what they're planning to do right now. Right. I think it's at least possible, especially if the MLB goes sideways with these infection rates.
Yeah, and it's being your opinions are being reflected in our Twitter poll. 47-48% of our respondents say they're going to have to go to localized team bubbles. They're going to have to put the Bills in their town here in Buffalo, the Dolphins there in Miami, every team's going to have to be in a bubble by itself, and then they can play the games on weekends and with no fans and all of that. I think that's what it makes some sense, because you probably could sequester a team like the Bills, particularly here in Buffalo, get them back and forth between a commandeered hotel that you have, put them there, bring them back and forth between the stadium, and they just sequester for the remainder of the season. Now, the players are going to fight against it because they want to, you know, this whole thing is about their families and saying, you know, not having to say goodbye to their wives and kids for 4 months. But it does make a lot of sense.
But, and I'm not surprised the poll's going this way here, because what is the only thing that we know works right now based on what we've seen with the NBA?
The NBA bubble.
The bubble.
Yeah, they got bubble, their whole league in a bubble.
It's working right now. And the NHL, which has done a run-up to their season, which starts tonight, I saw Gary Bettman on the Today Show this morning, and he said, even in our ramp-ups to daily testing over the last 2 weeks, after training camp period, zero positive tests. So, out of more than 8,000. So, the bubbles... early returns are very positive. And I think sports fans see that. And so they look at this poll and say, man, the only sure thing I see here is localized team bubbles. I mean, you can go to a non-hotspot state. You can go to a safe state, whether it's New York or somewhere else, and say, well, we'll just play the games there. But where are those players coming from? And, you know, what if...
I think what this means is you're going to just put them in a hotel locally. You're not going to go move the Dolphins to Birmingham.
Right. That's what the local bubble would be. I'm saying if you're looking at some of these other options, if you restrict travel, like let's just say, you know, the Bills on their schedule, they got to play they got to play Arizona on the road. They got to play, who are they playing?
They're playing Vegas. They're playing.
They have to play in Las Vegas. Is Nevada a hotspot? I don't know. I got to check. I haven't checked the map lately.
They play Miami. But they play.
Got to go to Miami week two.
Right.
Go to Miami.
Colorado was hot for a little while. They're playing in Denver.
So you know, if Florida is still radioactive by early September,
which
you say, maybe we should move that game to somewhere else. I mean, we got no fans in the stands anyway. Do we go to a neutral site?
Think about this.
In a safer place. I don't know.
I think you might see, Brownie, I think you might see teams traveling day of game. Day of game.
Well, yeah, but how are you doing that if it's Bills at Raiders?
It's easier to move it to a but it's easier to move it to a 4 o'clock start than to or to a prime time game. You just say, listen, the Raiders Bills game is going to take place at 7 p.m. East Coast time.
Okay, you know, so now here's my next question, Steve. Being a former player as you were, how are your legs going to be after a 4.5 hour flight?
Brownie, in the big picture, nobody cares.
But you didn't answer the question, though. How are your legs after a 4.5 hour flight?
I'll tell you, they're going to – it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. They're going to have to figure out ways. I mean, they'll be having guys taking downers, you know, sleeping pills so they can get some sleep on the flight. But they also will have guys taking IVs so they can stay hydrated on the flight because, you know, flying at high altitude, it dehydrates you badly. That's why visiting teams at some of these places have a lot of players that, you know, cramp up and do all that. So they got these guys force-feeding them water on these flights because you don't feel thirsty, but, you know, you're getting dehydrated because of the altitude. And it so they'll overcome that somehow, some way. They'll have an answer for that. But there is no getting around the fact that you're going to – it's like hopping off a red eye and, you know, going on a run. I mean, it's the last thing you want to do. But that that may be a solution that will keep these guys from being exposed to, you know, hotel personnel, hotel hygiene, you know, hotel restaurants. They'll have, you know, buffet eating, conference room eating, you know, all of that stuff. All that is going to be, taken out of the mix if they travel day of. I think you'll see some of that.
So here is a little bit of good news on the NFL front. So James Palmer, who is a Houston Texans beat reporter for a television station down there in Houston, he said, over the last 3 days, the Texans have had 100% negative test rate, according to head coach Bill O'Brien. And Tom Pelissero from NFL Network follows that up by saying, this is significant, in part because the Texans veterans reported 3 days earlier than most teams. They're playing the kickoff game.
Right.
So they got to start their camp earlier. Thinking all along has been that there will be a high number of positive tests early, and then the idea is to drive them down with robust testing, contact tracing, and education. But doesn't look like the Texans are even going to need to do that because they're all negative right now. Now, that's always subject to change, as we know, but that's an encouraging early start for them. Now, the Bills, we know, kind of sent everybody home to do work virtually after they got 5 positive tests. So,
yeah, it's interesting, too, though. They got those 5 positives, Brownie. Do we know, was it the first couple of days when nobody was in the building anyway?
Well, the question is, the positive tests that they had, did they get those back from the day prior? I'm assuming they're turning these around in 24 hours.
Right.
So they got the positives yesterday, so that probably means those were turned in on Wednesday, and players have been checking in since Monday. So that's essentially day 3 of players on campus.
That means they showed up asymptomatic, got a positive test or a negative test, and then got a positive test. So what you'd think is it's probably the guys that traveled in.
Yeah, that would be my guess because they're coming in waves.
Right.
This first week, I don't think they're allowed to have more than 20 players in the building at any one time.
Right.
So I think they're coming in waves. And, yeah, I think the odds are probably pretty good that, you know, a player just arriving from points unknown tested positive. That's probably the way it went.
And they came in. They were asymptomatic before. And who knows if any of them have got symptoms or even will.
They had to be asymptomatic, Steve, or they wouldn't be allowed in the building.
Right.
So,
or even maybe if they did, they still had to test them and got a positive test anyway. So maybe they didn't say anything about the symptoms or anything like that. But most of these guys, I mean, we're guessing now, but that makes some sense. If one of them said, yeah, I've been exposed when they tested him in his car day 1 or day 2. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, we're here till 3 o'clock. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Daryl Talley, former Buffalo Bills great, going to talk up the captain's circle that he's going to appear with the rest of the legendary guys. Lorenzo Alexander, a part of that as well, on Sunday night at 7 p.m. on all the platforms for the Bills and Sabres. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here till 3 o'clock. Brandon, we're still watching Major League Baseball to see if they can get it under control. And we're asking our listeners what their thoughts are and about how they think it's going to roll and how it's going to affect the NFL, what happens in Major League Baseball. We've got some feedback on our Twitter poll. 50% of the people just say they're going to put every team in its own little bubble. That way, if they're all in their own little bubble, then they're not going to, it won't matter when they rub up against each other on game day.
Well, yeah, based on how the NBA bubble is going, that would make a lot of sense. Why they didn't consider that earlier, I'm not sure. Maybe they really felt that with the protocols in place, they could make this work and would be able to count on every player on their roster doing the right thing every single day. That might be a big leap to expect that, but I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later here. Once we get through this initial wave of testing with players coming in and reporting, and we get what's positive, who's negative, once we get past that initial set of testing, it'll be interesting to see which teams can reduce the number of positive tests and keep it down and continue to conduct daily business on the practice field. That will be where the rubber truly meets the road with the plan that the NFL has in place.
Yeah, you get to the point where, and this is where some of the other people in our Twitter poll are kind of landing. They think they're going to hold games. 18% of the people think they're going to hold games at neutral sites, and also 18% think they're going to reschedule games with outbreaks. And only 14%.
Yeah, reschedule games, yeah, for teams with major outbreaks. Right.
And then 14% say they're going to restrict travel to hotspot states. Do you think they'll start flipping home games around, like giving teams more? Since there's no fans in the stands for some of these, it won't make any difference. So
think about Buffalo-Miami week two.
Right.
That's a road game for Buffalo. If Florida is still radioactive, maybe they flip that game.
Exactly.
They come up and play in Buffalo.
Makes some sense.
Yeah.
Not that it's going to be better, you know, later on.
That's an easy switch, too, because, you know, you make up that home game because you're going to just flip the second meeting later. I mean, you can do that. I wonder if they pull the trigger on stuff like that. You know, Chargers and Rams, you know, they're in a bad spot in California. You know, if they have an early home game against a division opponent like Seattle, do they flip that game? Because Washington State's in a better situation than California is, huh? They could.
Yeah. And I got this, too. Think about this. What if all those teams in hotspot states traveled for all their games? Who cares? Because there's no fans in the stands in any of these places anyway, so it's not like they get home field advantage. Have fewer teams traveling on, you know, fewer games. It'd be the same teams traveling over and over. It puts them at more risk, no question, but you don't have other teams coming into those stadiums. I mean, you know what I mean? So you'd have a team like the Bills playing 12 home games instead of 8 home. You know what I'm saying? Interesting. But
yeah, I hear you. I mean, anything's possible. We should mention that it is now official. The Bills have confirmed that John Feliciano underwent surgery today to repair a torn pectoral muscle, and he is out indefinitely. And that's a long-term recovery, especially for the kinds of things that an offensive lineman needs to do on the field. They're using that muscle on every single play, you know, pushing, pulling, using their arms. So that's a tough loss for Buffalo's offensive line for sure, not only from a performance perspective, but from a leadership perspective too, because John's one of those rock solid guys that a lot of people follow. He's kind of a fiery player that, you know, gets other guys jacked up to play at their best. And he's got an attitude. He brings an attitude to that offensive line. There's some grit and down and dirty type play that Feliciano brings. You know, if he can give you a little extra at the end of a play, he's going to give you a little extra. And I think offensive lines need some element of that, you know, in their front five. So that's a tough one.
Yeah, he leads the team in willingness to confront the other team outside the whistles. And it's nice to have a guy who's like, you know, the point of the spear in that regard. Somebody you always know who's going to be in there and like never back down under any circumstances. And it's easy to jump on board with a guy like that. He's a tough player. And in a league full of tough guys, that's something that carries a lot of weight in the locker room and on the football field and in competition. So, yeah, they're going to miss John Feliciano as a leader and his presence in the room, the offensive line room. I think the Bills are worse, obviously, without him than they are with him. I think that's a loss for them. They're going to have to overcome. Now, not that they can't. They got enough guys. They got some guys, and they might have to be a different type of O-line without him. But and maybe they'll be better even, but they're going to miss him, I think, the way they had envisioned their starting five to go.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, he's not only the starting right guard, he was the backup center to Mitch Moore. So now you've got to make sure you have your ducks in a row for who's going to back up Morse in the pivot, and in addition to filling that right guard spot. Now, you have candidates, as we've mentioned. You know, you've got Evan Bame, who they signed in free agency. They still have Spencer Long under contract. And you have Darrell Williams, who came over from Carolina, who is a giant human. I mean, 6'6", 330. You drop him in the guard spot, not too many people are moving that guy. So,
right. I think they got some size.
Yeah, it's opened an interesting competition up at the right guard spot for sure. The crazy thing, Steve, is this. John Feliciano is in the last year of his contract with the Bills. He signed a two-year, $7 million deal a couple of years ago. Now he's in the last year of his deal. So you don't know where that's headed. I mean, I would like to believe that if he does not get on the field this year and his contract expires at the end of the year, that the Bills will make efforts to re-sign him. And I think John really likes it here and where this team is headed. I think he would like to continue his career here in Buffalo. But, you know, nothing's ever set in stone in this league, as you know. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes if he cannot get back on the field this season.
Tough break for John Feliciano. He's a guy that I think endeared himself to his teammates last year and really carved out very quickly a niche for himself where he helped them with their identity, just all of that stuff. I mean, he's a good player, a really good player. So already yet another degree of difficulty that's going to rear its head for everybody is regular football injuries that you get when you train play football.
Forget about COVID. And a lot of times, Steve, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but some of these pec injuries sometimes happen because, you know, guys are lifting weights. And I know that most athletic strength and conditioning coaches don't have guys lift heavy anymore to avoid those kinds of things. But back when you were playing, I know guys used to lift heavy all the time, especially the linemen, just to try to bulk up. But we don't know what caused it, whether it was something in practice training on his own at home. Who knows?
Yeah, it's impossible.
It doesn't matter how it happened. It sucks that it did.
He started all 16 games last year for the Buffalo Bills. He came to us from the Raiders. He'd started four games for them in the previous year before that, and they plugged him in. And Sean McDermott loved the attitude he brought. He said it from the get-go.
The fans loved it, too.
And he is a tough dude. He's a lot like the guy we're going to have on at 1 o'clock, Daryl Talley. Just a scrappy guy who just was not – they just don't shy away from confrontation on the football field. And I know I've said that a couple of times. It's, you know, picture you've got a buddy who is the first guy to be the one who shoves somebody, right? Always. He's always the guy that crosses the line first. And that's the kind of guy John Feliciano is. You just love having those guys in your locker room.
Well, yeah. In the fight or flight reaction, he's fight all the way. So
right.
There is no flight.
That's exactly right.
So, that's exactly the way it goes. Should we get to the tweet sheet before we break here? At least
Let's do the tweet sheet brought to you by Corgan Moving Systems, the official equipment movers of the Buffalo Bills. And I'll give you one last thing. 50% of the people say, hey, we're going to have localized team bubbles. 19% say it's going to be rescheduled to teams that have outbreaks. 18% say hold games at neutral sites. 13% say they're just going to restrict travel to hotspot states. But on the tweet sheet, we've got this kind of response. Here she's back again, Tiffany Daniels. I believe the NFL will utilize the league's schedule to adjust to COVID-19 outbreaks. In my opinion, I don't see the season starting as scheduled. I feel they will use the first 2 weeks and flex those games to the back end of the schedule, and we may see multiple bye weeks this season.
You know, that's another option. Multiple bye weeks, stretch the season out based on the contingencies you've built into the schedule already. I think that's the way that the NFL would prefer to go. But I think without a true roadmap on how COVID's going to behave when you have athletes traveling and you don't have a true bubble, you know, it may have to be something they reexamine between now and September 13th, you know, the week one slate. So I don't disagree with Tiffany. I think there are adjustment elements to the league schedule. They did that on purpose. And they may have to take advantage of any and all of those openings that they have in the schedule, which includes the 3 Sundays after the scheduled Super Bowl to push back the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Right. They've given themselves almost a month of slack. Well, actually, probably 5 weeks if you take out everybody's bye week and start throwing games in those bye weeks.
And if you take out the Pro Bowl week and eliminate the Pro Bowl, that's another week.
Right.
So
that's right. So you've got enough weeks to be flexible with the schedule. And Brownie, we know how difficult and what a big deal it is for them to put the schedule together, like, you know, as fair as they can and all of that. We might see these guys jump through fiery hoops this year to get this in and reschedule and delay and flip games and switch games and push this schedule back and delete this bye week and put it back here. I mean, they can do all of that. And they've got the you'd think the freedom to do it. They may have some venue issues for some of the teams, but most of the teams have full reign of their venue. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think that's Tiffany brings up, as she usually does, a pretty good point about the flexibility built into the schedule already and taking full advantage of it.
Yeah, and hopefully that's all they have to do.
All right, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown coming up at the top of the hour. Daryl Talley will come join us on One Bills Live. We're all presented by Kaleida Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown. We've asked you what you think the NFL is going to do in relation to how the Major League Baseball has handled their COVID outbreak. A couple of teams now affected. When one team's affected, as many as 4 teams are affected in baseball. We asked you how it will affect the way the NFL does business. And Brown, we got a lot of feedback on the tweet sheet.
Yeah, Kyle chimes in with what right now is the majority of the respondents. He said, I truly hope for NFL bubbles. The NBA and NHL are doing amazing currently with no positive tests in the last week or more. Also, the NBA forced Lou Williams to go into quarantine after visiting the Hot Wings place. The bubble, while seemingly crazy, definitely works. Anything goes. And he's with the majority right now, Steve, and I think we know why, because the early returns on the bubbles have been extremely positive with negative tests.
The problem
so extremely
is gonna,
positive with no positives.
Yeah, you're going to have to get it past the players that whether they want to go into that bubble or not. It's going to be a hard sell.
That's probably the biggest rub. That's probably the biggest thing that would work against the NFL putting that into place.
That's the issue right now. And it took them a long time to get to this point. The baseball never got to this point.
Right.
For bubbles. But
if this Major League Baseball thing goes sideways, Steve, with infection rate, I wonder if it's going to force a lot of NFL players to rethink that idea and say, well, you know what? I don't want to be away from my family for 4 months or 5 months, but I also don't want to get this thing. So it may force a lot of NFL players to rethink maybe taking another step and that step being a bubble, even if it's a localized one in your team's hometown.
Right, but that kind of bubble is different than the NBA bubble where they're staying at a vast resort with all kinds of fun stuff to do and all kinds of space and everybody, a large bubble that you can do fun stuff around in. You do the localized bubble here in Buffalo, you're going to be at the Westin downtown at Arbor Place?
NFL NBA players are doing more fishing down at that Orlando resort than they've ever done before. My son, he follows a lot of NBA players on Instagram, and he and I do a good bit of fishing this time of year, and he's showing me every day now. Hey, look, these guys are fishing now, too. Hey, look, it's Damian Lillard from the Trailblazers. He's never fished before. He's going with one of his teammates. It's hilarious. Like,
are they going
guys,
deep sea or what?
Well, no, they're in the bubble there on the Orlando complex. So, you know how they have in Disney and all those areas? They have little ponds and,
Okay.
You know, well, I figured half of them are man-made, but they're stocked with fish. So,
but I just thought that they would, they bring charter boats in there, disinfect them, and use them strictly for the bubble. I mean, they've got all kinds of other stuff going, and they'd take them out on the ocean.
Yeah, I think they're just fishing on property, cast them from the shoreline.
Yeah. There's all kinds of freshwater fish.
I mean, it was all built largely on swampland, so.
Oh yeah.
Plenty of water down there to choose from. So yeah, that's what they're doing to keep themselves occupied. I heard that ESPN NBA reporter Rachel Nichols, she was on talking about how she's got this giant puzzle on her hotel room table to keep herself busy because she's apparently awful at puzzles, so she knows she'll kill time that way. So it's not all rainbows and butterflies in the bubble. You can get bored pretty easy because there's a limited number of things to do for sure.
Right. Also on the tweet sheet from Wandering Jack, he says, I feel like we need the quote-unquote other option to vote. I vote postpone or cancel games. Hope that doesn't happen, but I'm feeling pretty apprehensive. Local bubbles plus a 14-game schedule would be cool. Put the AFC East and AFC West together in one bubble, for example, and play each team twice in a local bubble with two usable stadiums. It's pretty complex. Idea there that seems hard to pull. So he's saying, would he just divide the league into four different bubbles of eight teams each and have them play each other twice in a round robin, right?
So the question is, where do you go after the regular season? Are you going to set up playoff bubbles? I guess you would. I guess that would be the next step.
Well, you wouldn't either that
AFC
or
playoff bubble, NFC playoff bubble, but now you're talking 14 teams. In those two playoff bubbles, conceivably, or are you still doing smaller scale bubbles? That's a lot of work. I mean, that's a lot. That's a heavy lift.
Well, it would scramble
together.
Yeah.
You know, especially not knowing which teams are in the playoff bubble yet. Like, who qualifies? Who's clinched? You know,
Here's what you do: is then you take all the testing data and say the teams that had the best protocols or the teams that had the least amount of positive tests during.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, Steve. I think
I don't know.
That's that's a heavy lift, dude. Plus, you got to do.
Well, I think it still goes with that. Would the team still stay locally? Right, the Bills would still be here. They just play eight teams instead of. Right.
I just don't know if there's. You got to do a whole bunch. See, and if you decide to go that way, what's the ramp up period? Can you get it set up in time? Do you push the season back 2 weeks, as Jack or and a couple of other respondents have indicated, to buy you the time to set that up? How much research can you do on it to determine whether it's a more effective option than what you're doing right now? It's a lot of layers to that.
Right. Right. Also, we got another option from Scott Miller. He says the NFL can put each team in a bubble away from family and public for the season. Yeah, it'll be a hardship for everyone involved, but if you want to get in a season and keep everyone safe, it's the way to go. If a player or an employee breaks the bubble, shut them down for 14 days. Quarantine them for 14 days. And yeah, that's true. You can do that. And it would be a way to do it but you got to get these players to agree to it. And there's some of them, you got 33 guys opting out. You might have 333 guys opting out if that's the case.
Yeah, you really don't think there'll be a lot of momentum on the player side for a bubble at all. No. In any way, shape, or form.
No, I don't think
local, regional, national.
Which really says a lot about the confidence we should have in them not staying sequestered from the rest of the population once they leave the building. It's like they're not going to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that it's going to come down to that. They're going to have the ability not to break the protocols when they leave their
respective facilities.
And I don't know if you're going to be able to do it, Brownie. It's going to be hard. Really hard. But it might happen.
It's like we always say, there's always one.
Yeah.
In every group, as good a group as you think you've got, there's always one. Maybe two.
Right. That's right. Coming up right after the break, Daryl Talley, former Bills linebacker, one of the all-time great Buffalo Bills. Can't wait to talk to him. Daryl Talley coming up after the break on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.